Good morning. Man, it just does something for me to see you young people up here worshiping the Lord. You know, there's so many places that these kids could be, but yet they stand up here and they sing praises and glory to the Lord. And that just does something for me. And in case you don't know me, I'm Matt. I work with Josh, Doug, and John. This morning I'm going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It's going to be a very familiar text this morning. I'm going to be preaching about the prodigal son. And you see, each of us, if we're here and we're a born-again believer, we were once the prodigal son. We were in the situation that the son was in. And then if you're not, if you're here lost, then you're still that prodigal. This story could be about you this morning. But to kind of get the context this morning, we're going to back up and we're going to look at verse 1, because I believe to get the context of the story of the prodigal son, we have to see who his audience is. We have to see who he's speaking to this morning. In verse 1 he says, "Then drew near unto them all, the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." See, his audience this morning was the publicans and sinners, which will be the prodigal son or the lost son. And then they murmured was the Pharisees and scribes, and they were always trying to catch Jesus up. We know that. They were the ones that was trying to catch him, and we'll see in this story that this is the elder brother. He's the self-righteous kind of person. And I'm sure, as I mentioned, that we all think of people come to our minds that fit this category. But this is his audience. And I believe this parable was probably just one long parable. It wasn't three parables. I believe he told it as one. But first he goes in, he talks about the sheep, how a shepherd has 100 sheep and one goes lost, but yet he searches. He leaves the 99 and goes searches for the one because it's important to him. That one is important. And you know, as a church, we shouldn't get comfortable in these walls that we're in. We should go outside of these doors and search for that one that is lost and bring him back. That's our job as a church. But sometimes we get comfortable inside the walls and we get comfortable inside on our pews. But yet he's called us to go search for that one. And then he goes in, he talks about the woman who lost the coin and how she diligently searched her house till she found it. And we see at the end of both of these parables that he talked about how they rejoiced over that one they found and how there will be rejoicing in heaven over one that repented. You know, I think if there's a party in heaven over one that gets saved, there should be a party on earth too. Because it's a glorious occasion that somebody comes from death to life. Their eternal address was changed at that moment. At that moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get in. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day. We're so thankful, Lord, for this church, Lord. We're so thankful for their leaders, Lord. We're so thankful that they come to serve you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless this church, that you use them in a mighty way in this community, Lord. That through this church you could turn this community upside down for you, Lord. I pray that many lost boys and girls and men and women would come to know you through this church. Lord, I just thank you. I ask you to be with me this morning as I break the bread of life, Lord, that you'll use me, use these old lips of clay, Lord, that you'll get me out of the way and just speak through me. It's in your sweet, holy, and precious name I pray, and amen. We're just going to preach down through this morning. We're going to start in verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. And John MacArthur said he didn't call this the prodigal son. He called it a tale of two sons. And I would have to agree with him this morning, because this story is not just about the prodigal. It's about two sons. And in my opinion, they're both in the same boat. They're both lost this morning. I believe that we have people that fit both of these categories this morning. And we know that he has a younger son, which is your rebellious, immature, wanting everything now kind of son, wanting his way. That's kind of the world we live in. The kids, they want it now. They want it their way. Then we see the older son as a self-righteous, the holier-than-thou type people that think they just are above everybody. We're all just lost. We're all sinners saved by grace. That's us. There's nobody better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat, and if we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. Let's continue on. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. But I think we have to go back and consider his audience this morning, because as he tells this story, his audience would really get it. They would know what he was talking about. They would know the severe consequences of what he was talking about this morning, because when the younger son asked the father, he said, Father, give me the portion that's mine. What he's saying to the father is, Father, I wish you were dead. I wish that you were dead so I could have the goods that was coming to me. Because we can go back in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 17, and we can see that when the father would die or would pass away, then the inheritance would go and be split. If you had two kids, the elder would get two-thirds and the younger would get one-third. But he wouldn't get it until he was dead. So what he was saying to his father is, Dad, I just wish you were dead so I could have what was coming to me. And the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders of this time would have really got that. And I could just imagine their faces as they said this and how they would be taken back by it. How they would have just thought, what in the world was he asking? And in that same chapter, Deuteronomy, if you go on down to verse 18, you'll see how they would have dealt with a rebellious son. They would have stoned him to death. That was the punishment by the law that this younger son deserved because of what he was asking. But yet that wasn't the way the father treated him. And I'm thankful that wasn't the way the father treated me when I came to him. He treated me just like the father did here, with love. See, we serve a God this morning that's a perfect gentleman. He'll not enforce anything on you that you don't want. He'll only come in the doors of your life that you allow him to this morning. And in my Christian walk, I noticed so many times, Brother Josh, that I closed some of those doors. It might have been the things I like to do. It might have been my finances. For me, it was my money. The money was the last thing I gave to God. I let him only in the doors that I wanted him in. And I think so many times in the Church of America, that's the way we are. We only want God in the areas that we want him in, not that he wants. Because I want you to imagine a pie this morning. Sometimes we like to take a slice of the pie and say, this is my Christianity. But when the whole pie should be our Christianity. And everything else in our life should fit in that pie. It should be our whole being, our whole lives, our whole selves. Not just Sunday mornings. It should be everything about us. And that should be the way we live our life. But so many times, we like to just give him a slice of us. And I was that way at one time. And I won't say that I'm still not sometimes, because I am. Let's continue on. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. See, the father gave him exactly what he wanted. And you know, God will give you what you want. He'll let you go and be taken away by your own desires and your own pleasures that you want. But sometimes he'll end up just like the younger son. And I just want to take a little TV time out. You need to recognize what your far country is. You know, as born-again believers, we still struggle. We still have those things in our lives that we struggle with. And as Christians, we need to recognize, what is my far country? And stay away from it. Because we can go back in the story of David and Bathsheba, and we can see that David didn't recognize what his was. And we need to stay away from it. See, because David shouldn't even been on that rooftop that day. He should have been out to war with where his other men was. He was being lazy. He was doing something, and he was somewhere that he wasn't supposed to be. And then we've seen the domino effect of sin, how the sin just got out of control because of his, he didn't recognize his far country. And I don't have to stand up here, and I don't have to list and talk about different sins, because once I mention that, you know what your far country is. I know what mine is, and I know that I need to stay away from it. But we see in this text that he went to the far country. He ran to it. We need to run away from it. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. See, the son went down to this far country, and he had all the money. He had all the things, and it attracted all the friends because he had everything. See, he had the fair weather friends. And guys, I'm going to go back to the story of David and Bathsheba. We need to find our Nathans before our Nathans find us. Young people, you need to find your friends that will have your best interest. You need to find your friends that's going to say, hey, this isn't the way you need to go, Zach. Zach, you need to go this way. That's the friends you need to find. Not the ones that'll take you to sin, but that'll talk you out of it. That'll tell you the right way. See, because Nathan went to David when nobody else wanted to go to him. And he told him what he was doing was wrong. Yeah, he might have told him a parable in a roundabout way, but he told him what he was doing wrong. That's the friends we need to find. Because these friends that the prodigal had, they left. They just wanted what he could offer at the time. And that's not the people we need to be involved with. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And I believe right here we have to go back and we have to consider who we're talking about. We're talking about a Jewish boy here, a Jewish boy that was in the pig pen. See, the religious leaders, they understood what he was saying. They understood that he reached a place in his life that he never thought he would be. And that's exactly what sin will do to you. Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you ever want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you ever want to pay. But see, because if you don't recognize that you're caught up in that sin, it'll ultimately lead to death, which is eternal separation from God. And that's a place where we don't want to be. My hope and my prayer is nobody's in that condition in here this morning. Because that's what sin will do to you. Because it took this Jewish boy somewhere that he never dreamed in a million years he would be. In a pig pen. Not only feeding the swine, but eating what they ate. That's as low as you could get for a Jewish boy. And the Pharisees and scribes, they understood this. They understood what it meant for this Jewish boy to be there. And sometimes, you know, sin will take us somewhere we never thought we'd be. I was there one time. I did things that I regret, that I'm ashamed to even say I did. But you know, I serve a loving God that forgave me. Amen. I serve a God that not only, if I can talk, forgave me, but He forgot it. He cast as far as the east is from the west to remember never again. And I'm thankful for that this morning. How about you? Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Guys, let me tell you, the world offers you something that can't fill that void. There's a void inside of you that nothing can fill but God Himself. We can try, and I've tried. We can try everything the world has to offer, but it'll not fill it. You can try to go on the internet, on a computer, wherever it might be, and find that pleasure. There's pleasure in sin just for a little while, but not that peace and that comfort that God gives you, that you can lay your head down at night and know that whether you wake to see the dawn of another day, that's goodbye world and hello Jesus. That's the peace and the comfort I'm talking about this morning. It's nothing that the world can offer you. I've tried everything the world has, and they can't give it to you. It cannot give it to you. Sometimes we need to look to the one that can. And you know, in Acts 2:39 it says, "For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that were afar off." See, we were all far off, Brother Josh. We were all in a place where this prodigal son was. We were in a place where we never thought we would be. And we were far off, but God. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I'm thankful that He called my name Matt Fox one day. And that I not only sat in those pews, but I answered the call. And I hope that you had too this morning. Verse 18, "And I will rise and go to my father's house, or my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." See, all these things that you can do, all these sins that you think you can do, you're not sinning against Josh, you're not sinning against Matt, Brenda, you're sinning against God. And I can't help but think about the story back in Genesis 39 of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. You know, Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. What did he say? He didn't say, "I'm not doing it because of Potiphar." He said, "I'm not going to sin against God." And that's the attitude that you and I need to have this morning. It's not that we're sinning against nobody. Yes, we might be wronging people, but it's God that we're sinning against. Do you desire to please man or do you desire to please God this morning? Because I desire to please God this morning, and I hope you do too. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." It's only by and through the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary that you and I can be forgiven. That we were one time afar off and now we're nigh. It's only because of the sacrifice Jesus Christ came. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. We celebrated that baby in a manger. But Brenda, I'm thankful that he didn't stay a baby. I'm thankful that he grew to be a man that would bear the sins of the world. He would bear the sins of Matt Fulks on the cross of Calvary. And I do believe it wholly in my heart that if it was only for me, he would have done it. But he didn't. He did it for you too. He bared those sins for you. You know, he went through the punishment that I can't even fathom. But other than that, I can't help but think about when he bared our sins. You ever felt guilty for something that you did wrong? You remember that feeling of guilt and shame? I want you to think about the guilt and shame of the whole world put on you. Because it was Jesus. I just can't fathom that. Of how he felt when he was separated from God because he took on our sins. And he bared them on that cross of Calvary. Let's continue on. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants." See, he had a plan to go back and just be a servant of his father because he had no food, he was hungry, he was starving, he had nothing. But the Father didn't have that plan for him. And I'm thankful that He didn't have that plan for us this morning. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." I guarantee you this morning, if you're here lost, the first step's the hardest. You get up out of that seat and God will meet you where you are. I want you to picture this morning. This is a Jewish man. I don't know what it's called, but I call it a dress. He was wearing a dress, taking off running because he saw his son coming. That's the way God is with you. He sees you coming. He knows your need this morning. I don't know your need. He does. And he's convicting you of that right now. He's letting you know what your need is right now. Let's continue on. 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, I want you to recognize this morning as he started to tell him, Father, I've sinned against you. No more worthy to be called thy son. The father didn't say, yeah, you're right. He called his servants and said, bring forth these things. Because he wasn't going to take him as a servant. He was going to take him as a son. And I'm thankful this morning that I stand before you a son of God. Because of what Jesus Christ done. Nothing because of what I done. It was all because of what he done this morning. And you know, he brought him a robe. And this robe this morning, he honors his son who has dishonored himself. You know, that's what God does for us. He forgives us where we are. He forgives and forgets us. Forgets our sins this morning. And then he puts a ring on his finger. And this ring, it lavishes the boy as a sign of his love and wealth. You know, I'm thankful that we're heir of the kingdom of God. What's God's is ours. We will one day be in a mansion. You know, he's prepared a mansion for me, brother. And you study that word mansion, that don't mean a shack, it means a mansion. And I'm thankful this morning that God's preparing a place right now for you and I. And one day we'll be there together. And my hope, my prayer is this morning that each and every person in this room can say you'll be there too. Because just as heaven is real, hell is real too this morning. If you believe in heaven, hell is real. See, you can say, I'm in the middle, but there is no middle road. You either serve one or the other. There is no riding a fence this morning. Plus, riding a fence is very uncomfortable if you ever try to straddle one. It's a very uncomfortable thing to do. We need to be on one side or the other. I want you to notice the next thing he does is he puts sandals on his feet. At this time, sandals were a sign of a free man because slaves were barefoot. See, this boy, he was slave to sin. He was a slave to the world just like you and I were. But yet God made us free from that sin. He broke that bond for us. I want you to think about being handcuffed to the world and to sin. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, Zach, he broke that. We're made free. We're made free. And we're to live no more a slave to the world, but we're to live free through him. The next thing he does is he calls and tells him to kill the fatted calf. You know, a man of the father's stature would always have a calf that he would be feeding for a special occasion. This was a special occasion because his son was home. The son that was lost, the son that went afar was home. He was home. It was a time to rejoice, just as the one who went out searching for the one sheep left the 99. He rejoiced. He called his friends and they rejoiced and the angels rejoiced. This was a joyous occasion. You know, when a person gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ, it's a joyous occasion. It's a time to celebrate, a time to rejoice because of what we've seen. Let's continue on this morning. 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Those are words that I hope that you all have heard. That you were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Brother, let me tell you, sisters, if you're here this morning and you're sitting there and you're lost and you know it, why sit there anymore? You know, I'm not done with my sermon, but I don't have to be done. If you're there and you realize where you are in your sins, come and make things right. Brother Josh will be here to pray for you. I'll continue preaching. Don't sit there anymore. Let's continue in 25. Now we're going to get in. We're going to look at the older son this morning. See, because I believe the church, and I don't want to step on any toes, but if it does, then sorry. But the older son, I believe there's a lot of people like this in churches today. There's a lot of self-righteous people who sit in the pews every day. A lot of people think that they're better than somebody else. God come to seek and to save those who are lost. That's everybody. He came and died for the sins of the whole world. Not just the sins of the elect. For the whole world. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I was grafted in. That I was adopted into the family of God this morning. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, My brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. I'll read that one more time. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His brother was lost, and he came home safe and sound. He was found. He was blind, and now he sees. And the brother was angry. I've talked to people before that said that so-and-so don't deserve to be saved. If you've ever said that, let me just say shame on you. Because we didn't deserve it either. We didn't deserve the salvation either. We're no better than anybody else. I've heard people say, so-and-so got saved. I give them 2 weeks, Brother Josh. Shame on you. How about taking those 2 weeks of your time and going and helping them? How about taking those 2 weeks you gave them and get down on your hands and knees and pray for them, brother? How about we lift them up and not tear them down? See, the church is here to encourage one another. It's here to pray for one another. It's here to hold each other up, not tear each other down. So many times we worry about our own church. We worry about our own kingdom we're trying to build here on earth. It's not about our church. It's not about my church. Yeah, we love to see churches prosperous. But it's about expanding the kingdom of God. It's about seeing lives changed through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's time that we get ourselves out of the way. It's all about Him. And when we lose that focus and we lose that vision, then we've lost what God's called us to do. Because God's called us to see lives change, to spread the gospel. He might called us to do the work in different places and do the work wherever you are. But He's all called us for one purpose, and that's to expand the kingdom of God. But so many times we get worried about our own kingdom. And we lose focus. Sometimes we need to regain our focus. I can't help but think about when you go to eye doctor and they put that big contraption on your face and they say, which is better, one or two? Sometimes we need to switch it to where we can regain focus. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and regain it on Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that was born of a virgin. Left the best that heaven had, Brother Josh, to come to this old sinful earth for you and I this morning. He lived amongst sinful men, but yet He Himself knew no sin. He was tempted in the same way we were, Tracy, but yet He never sinned one time. When Satan tempted Him in the wilderness, He uses the word, didn't He? I want you to notice what He didn't do. He didn't say, well, Satan, let me go back to my Bible and see what I need to read. He had the Word memorized. He knew the Word. It's time that our churches, our people of the church get into the Word of God. Sometimes we're lazy, and I'm included in that. Sometimes when I don't feel as close to God, it's because I've walked away. It's because I'm not doing the things I need to do anymore. It's time that we stand up for Jesus Christ because He stood up for us. Sometimes we get tired. And I'm thankful He didn't get tired. He did what He came to do. That's the whole purpose on Christmas. He came to do what He meant to do. And that's the cross of Calvary. Let's continue on this morning. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet you never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which was devoured by living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." I'm thankful this morning that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I'm thankful that I was once blind, but now I can see. See, because the world will blind you, Brother Josh. See, this is a story about us this morning. It's a story about how we were lost, but yet we were reconciled to the Father. Amen. See, reconciliation is a good thing this morning. We were reconciled to the Father. And I'm going to flip over to Colossians chapter 1. And I just want to read a couple verses this morning. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind." So you might sit there this morning and say, "I'm not an enemy of God." You're either for Him or against Him. You can think that you're a good person this morning. You can think that you do all the right things this morning, but let me tell you something, friend. If you're not for Him, you're against Him. If you're sitting there lost, you're an enemy of God this morning because of where you are, not because of where He is. He stands this morning just like the Father did in the story, beckoning you to come home, wanting you to come home this morning. "By wicked works, yet hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." This morning, do you want to stand before a holy God and be unblameable? There's only one way that you and I can stand before a righteous and holy God this morning and be unblameable. And that is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way this morning. There's no other name given amongst men where we might be saved. What's that name this morning, church? It's Jesus. He is the only way this morning. As Zach sings this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I don't know how you usually do things, but... you know, I don't like to ever end a service without giving you an opportunity this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never called upon Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of sins, why wait? Why wait? Come and make things right this morning. Make this new year about a new birth. A birth only through and by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning.